We're going to start a new subject. We're going to start it with one of your requests. You guys request the freedom. How to talk about the freedom and how the freedom of Christianity and obedience, all of it. So God provides for us today. Dr. Mariam Obrier. Pay attention very well. There is no PowerPoint for it now. So you better pay attention right there. Have a good day. So I heard that was your topic of choice. You requested freedom?
What does that mean?
Well, what does that mean? That it's a big, big topic. And we're going to try to touch on the very important points that probably concern you as youth and will concern you as servants also, because a lot of kids and a lot of people your age are going to want to talk to you about freedom. And there's a lot of questions about freedom, correct? That's one aspect of freedom we're going to talk about, right? What else? What else do you want to talk about when you hear the word freedom?
No perfume.
No perfume. All right, what else? We'll see, we'll talk about that too. Any other points? So, since this is about freedom, I thought to myself, what do I call this this talk? I don't want to call it a lecture. I actually called it God's slave. And that's actually a word from the Bible. It appears in a couple of spots, one of which is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. And it says, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. And I'm sure when we read that, we say, well, that really doesn't make sense. How am I going to live free, but live as a slave? And especially to God. That's a very difficult type of concept to understand.
Can I have the reference again?
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. So, well, I think the best way to start, and I know we have limited time, is to talk about freedom as we know it in society. Let's forget about religion for a minute. Let's just talk about freedom and what we know of it and what we understand of it in society. I looked up the definition of freedom on multiple dictionaries and tried to see what are the different definitions of freedom out there. It basically, you can compile it into freedom is not to hinder, not to stop, not to limit, and not to be stopped in any way, shape, or form by anything. So you are free when you're able to do something without any hindrance, without anyone telling you this is your limit, this is where you have to stop. You're hindered by power, let's say, you're hindered by your ability, by your capacity, by your knowledge. So if you take away all of these limitations, then you have full freedom. And we also know that we hear about it every day. Being in an American society, we all know the most important thing that distinguishes us from a lot of other countries in the world is our freedom. This entire culture was based on freedom. Your freedom to think. Your freedom to exist, first and foremost. You are free to exist. No one can take your right of existing away from you. We know that in some religions and in some cultures, you might not have the right to merely exist because you are of different color, you are of different religion, you are of different tongues. But in America, we have freedom that goes above and beyond all of that. So we are free to exist. We are free to think whichever way we want to. We are free to say whatever we want to, or so we think. And we're going to, you know, go back to those in detail and say, well, are we really? So we're free to think, yes, as Americans, correct? We are free to believe, yes. We are free to act upon our thoughts and our beliefs. We have freedom of lifestyle. We have freedom of religion. We have freedom. And as a very developed society, probably the most important thing that distinguishes us from other less advanced societies is our freedom. We have earned our freedom, right? So let's talk about a little bit what, you know, we want to define as freedom of, let's start with freedom of thought. So I'm free to think, right? I'm free to think that I like you. I'm free to think that I don't like you. I don't like the sweater you're wearing. I don't really like the way you do your hair either. I don't like your accent. I don't like where you live. So I don't like you, right? Or I like you. So I have freedom. Let's go to the next step. Well, I have freedom to act based on my thoughts. I had freedom to think. Now I have freedom to express that thought. So I like you, so I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to be kind to you. Every time I see you, I'm going to say hi, hello, how are you? I missed you. You're dressed very nicely. You look great. You know who did your hair? But I don't like you. When I'm free to think that. So I'm going to, when I see you, I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to be mean to you, rude to you. I might even try to pull a prank on you. You know, I might try to do something that bugs you. You know, who hasn't pranked someone? You know, I don't know of anyone who has not tried to prank someone. You're an angel, I know. So, but because I am free to do that, I can prank you. I can put a stain on your chair, and when you sit, you're going to stand up and everyone's going to laugh. And I'm free to do it. Right? Am I free to do that?
Yes.
No. Not from your conscience and God's judgment.
So I'm not free.
From that way.
Am I free?
Yes.
So I'm not free. All right. Well, I'm free tonight. It's Saturday night. I'm going to go out. I'm going to get drunk. And I'm going to get behind my wheel. And I'm going to drive very heavily intoxicated. I'm free.
Mark.
I have full freedom to do that. And I hope, I just hope, I really hope that no one's going to be crossing the street while I'm falling asleep behind my wheel. But that didn't happen. I ran into them. I probably killed them. I probably mutilated them. We hear that every day. Someone exercising their freedom. Right? They're free. They're free to do whatever they want to. Are they? Were they free?
So they might be free, but they have to deal with the consequences of their actions.
So then we have a limit.
Is that freedom imposed on the freedom of the person who was marked, who was killed?
Exactly. So then we are not really free. If we sit down and talk about the multiple scenarios of freedom, we're not free. The person who held a gun and shot 26 kids last year in a school because they thought they were free, they're not really free. They're in a free society. The world tells us we're free to a limit. That limit means that my freedom does not infringe on your freedom. I can't use my freedom to hate you, to act upon it, and to hurt you. I can't use my freedom to say, I don't like how they designed this building, and go trash it or paint graffiti all over it. Do I have that freedom? No. So even though society tells us we're free, they also tell us that our freedom is limited by the well-being of others. So if my freedom is going to infringe upon your safety or your well-being or your happiness, that's where my freedom stops. So by definition, that definition that says there is no hindrance, no limitation, nothing to stop, is not entirely true. We do have, in a very developed society, limitations, regulations. And that's actually what distinguishes the more civilized societies from the less civilized societies. The more freedom we have, the more limits we have, the more laws we have. Because to achieve perfect freedom, we have to protect it from imperfect exercise of freedom. In the very primitive societies, there were no laws. There were no regulations. People were totally free. A man could kidnap a woman and make her his wife. He was free to do that. It was upon the other village to go and grab her and do whatever they wanted to do to him as punishment. That is in a very primitive society. As we became more developed, we created regulations, laws, boundaries of freedom. So can we agree that to some degree we're not totally free? Who wants to be totally free under those limitations? If you want to be totally free under those without those limitations, raise your hand. Because as you give yourself that freedom, you're going to have to give it to the other person next year. And since you don't know how they're going to use it, then that there becomes the problem. So I guess we all agree that there is no limitation. There is no freedom without limitation. All right, so that's the first concept we're going to agree on in society. The second concept is, well, what are those regulations? And in a nutshell, we can divide it into two categories. There are laws, civil laws, criminal laws, military laws. There are laws that are set by larger governmental bodies. And then you have our laws, which we call ethics or good manners. I have good manners, so that's why I'm being nice to everyone and I'm choosing not to be mean. Even though if I wanted to be totally free, I could be mean to the people who I dislike. But because we have set to ourselves rules in limiting our freedom to do something like that, we call it good manners. The law will not fault me, and no one's going to put me in jail if I criticize you for the way you talk or the way you walk or the choice of your clothing. There is no law that's going to put me in jail for that or limit my freedom, but certainly there is a limit by good manners and ethics to that. So in a sense, laws and regulations have been created over time, and in history, the less civilized we are, the less set of laws and rules and regulations we have. So then who created those laws? Anyone knows? Who created law?
Like in our society?
Yeah, in any society. Who is responsible for that? Who would you choose
the government
to create the law? And
Obama.
Well, that's a good point, actually.
Yes, I know you.
Because in order for us to create laws, we have to pick people who are going to create these laws for us, because 300 million of us can't sit down and put our heads together and create laws. It's going to take about 300 million years to do that. So then we start by selecting a group of people, right? We either nominate or vote people to create laws, let's say on the government level. So we vote a bunch of people, and we hope that it's not one person. We never vote like one congressman or one senator. We vote a number of people who have to satisfy a few criteria. Let's go through the criteria. What do you think is a good criteria to have in a person who's going to be on, a committee that decides how a hospital is run? 5-year-old? I'll vote for my 5-year-old to be on that committee. How about you? Who would you vote for? An adult, I would think, right? First and foremost. Age is a big factor. I don't think I can entrust my 7-year-old to be congressman yet. And I think most of us would agree on that, unless, they're highly exceptional. So that's one factor. Probably age is a good factor, because as you grow up, you sort of stumble upon things. Things happen to you. Life happens to you. You run into situations, and sometimes you handle them well, and sometimes you don't handle them well. But in the process, if you, while you're growing up, once you've crossed that bridge, if you come across that same bridge again, you're probably going to have a little bit more experience on how to deal with it better. So probably age is one good factor. Along with age goes experience. So if, let's say, going back to the example of the committee that's going to run a hospital, if I have experience as a doctor or as a nurse, I'm probably going to be better at creating, let's say, a code of conduct for the people who work in this hospital. But if I'm a chef, chances are I'm going to have problems knowing what happens in the operating room, for instance, and I'm not going to be able to say, well, nurses have to come in at this time, and no, you cannot come in when you want to because there are patients that need to be seen. And even though you have freedom, but you're sort of limited by how the other people need you to act. I need you to act in a hospital as a nurse. You need to show up at 7:30. You need to be dressed. You need to prepare the equipment for the patient. They need to be sterilized a certain way. A chef, a teacher might not be able to do that. So then we have the other factor, which is experience in the field. So you want someone who knows what they're doing in that field. What else? I think the most other important thing is we're not going to leave all of this up to one person to do it. So we're not going to have a unilateral body that does it, because we as people don't trust each other. I mean, I like my best friend, but I don't know that she can run my house entirely. And if I had to leave it up to someone else, I'd probably vote for like 5 or 6 people, the smartest people that I know, in order for them to take charge of my house when I'm gone. Unless my best friend is really, really the smartest, coolest person that ever existed, and they really love my family, and they're willing to put their life on the line. And we know that that's probably not the case all the time. So there are a lot of things that have to fall into picking people that create laws and regulations, because our freedom is very precious. The laws that we abide by are very important to us. We are going to have to obey these laws that we have chosen to create. So we choose to create laws. And then we choose the people who create these laws for us. We have done this through hundreds and thousands of years in order for us to say that we are more civilized. The more civilized we are, the more laws we create, the more rules we create, and the more intense it is, the scrutiny over the people who are doing them. Any questions at this point? Because we're going to shortly go from society to a more important topic. So then, who are the people who really can't follow these freedoms and these laws and regulations? That's another important question.
Convicts.
Very good. Who else? Who are the people who, what I want to ask is, who are the people who are not eligible to exercise freedom or full freedom?
People who abuse it.
Right. So people who know the boundaries, people who know the laws, the regulations, the manners, the good ethics, and choose not to abide by them. So they don't want to, they will disobey the law. So disobeying is not good in this case, right? So disobeying, people who knowingly disobey regulations, because they might use their freedom to infringe upon others. A criminal, someone who wants to steal something, who wants to embezzle, who wants to kill, who wants to shoot someone. These are people who are using, who are knowingly disobeying the laws. So we're agreeing that disobeying is not a good thing, right? But obeying these laws is a good thing. Who else? People who don't know that they are disobeying these laws. Again, we go into the category of children. People who are mentally ill, like a lot of times they say, oh, well, the person who shot those kids who had a mental illness, they were schizophrenic, they had paranoid delusions, they were hearing voices in their heads, and they acted upon them. So we as a civilized society understand that at some points we have to take freedom away from some people, or a certain extent of freedom from some people, maybe not all the time, or not all types of freedom, but very invariably some degree or another of freedom cannot be given all the time to all people. And we're okay with it. We're okay as people, in order to protect the rest of us, where we think it is good practice to take away some freedoms, or maybe all freedoms, from some people at some times or at all times for certain individuals. And we're okay with it. Is anyone not okay with that? That freedom all the time for all people is not always good?
Are you talking about like the death sentence, or are you talking about like...
Everything. Yeah. Can you give your child, if you had the 5-year-old, if you had the 3-year-old, Can you give them freedom to walk around the house while you leave? And you say, here, it's all yours. You're free to play, eat, sleep whenever you want to sleep.
Open the door.
Open the door. Just, you're free. You're free. You can do it now. Come on.
Is
go.
My wife present?
Hmm?
Is my wife present?
So you limited that child's freedom. So you limited that child's freedom. We'll go back to that at the end of the lecture. So you limited that freedom.
I agree here.
So your question. So then the first question you asked was a question pertaining to partially limiting that child's freedom. So you don't entrust that person with the freedom. I'm not always talking about a criminal. Sometimes it is the freedom of a 13-year-old. Well, you as an 18-year-old, you want to drive a car. 13-year-old has the same right. They're not a criminal. They're not mentally ill. They want to get behind the wheel. They think they can do a good job. They probably, you know, the age difference between you and them is only 5 years, you know. It's not a big age difference. They can get behind the wheel.
I have patients 9 years old, and their children, which are adult male, took the freedom away from them to drive because they have Alzheimer's.
Yes.
They went crazy to find them, and it's very hard not to know where is your father. So they took a permission from the court. They are not driving alone by themselves.
That's a big debate in freedom right now, whether a person who was at one point free to drive their car because they were mature enough, educated enough, experienced drivers, responsible, but now they fall into the category of people who are probably not eligible because they either knowingly, they know they have limitations in response time, in vision, in hearing, and in reaction. Either they know that, in which case you know that they are not eligible to practice that freedom of driving, or maybe they don't know if they have Alzheimer's. That falls into the people who don't know, unknowingly think that they can exercise their freedom and be safe, and others also would be safe. That's a big debate right now. And there are a lot of these debates where it's not criminal. It's not always a criminal issue. We're not always talking about someone going to jail. As I said, am I free to walk to you and tell you, listen, I hate your guts. Please don't, if you see me, walk the other way. I'm free, am I not? I can't be put in jail for this. I am free maybe when I was 19 to go into my parents' pocket and take money. After all, this money is going to be mine one day. I want to spend some money on whatever. I want the latest designer shoes, sneakers, or, you know, a piece of jewelry. It's my freedom. I'm free. What limits me from doing this? My parents might get upset, but I'm sure they're not going to call the cops on me. So I'm probably not going to end up in jail. But am I free to do it? Am I free to say that at any age, when I'm underage, that I have a curfew? And then I can say, you know, a 5-year-old has curfew. 18-year-old has curfew? 19-year-old? I don't know. I don't have a 19-year-old. But what we know is that not all people are eligible for all freedom all the time. I'm a doctor. I can tell you. If I dislike a patient, I cannot tell them to their face I dislike them. I still have to take care of them the best I can. Equal, if not even better, to the next patient that I love and adore because they respect me and they're very nice to me. And even if this patient is not nice to me and disrespectful, I have one of two choices. Either to openly terminate that relationship and tell them, I choose not to be your doctor anymore. I would like you to find someone else. But I don't have the freedom to hurt them. Meaning, I can't say, well, your blood pressure medication, I'm going to cut it by half and let them have a stroke. I really dislike them. I am free to do it. I can write the script. I have a medical license to do it. But that's called ethics. It even supersedes law and regulation. even before they created laws of conduct for medical practice, physicians, for instance, as you know, one example, were held to a higher set of ethics. They were expected to not practice full freedom, especially if it hurts someone else. So what I want to get to after all this is that, first of all, we have agreed that there is no such thing as absolute and total unlimited freedom. And we're okay with it. We have agreed that some people are not eligible for freedom because they break the regulations either knowingly or unknowingly. And that could be temporarily, meaning a kid, because they're not going to be unfree for the rest of their life. Once they attain a certain level of maturity, once they've gotten to a certain level of experience in their lives, we're going to allow them to be free. But again, not without limit. They still have to obey the law, be law-abiding citizens, you know, maybe hold a job, maybe run a family. And they have to do all of this to the best of their ability to satisfy the ongoing, what should I call it? The ongoing right to freedom. Meaning, let's say I'm a mother, my kids are driving me nuts, I am done with them, I don't want them anymore. I am free to say that I don't want you guys, you are terrible, terrible teenagers, you're giving me a hard time, I am done with you, I'm dropping you off at the shop right now. I'm free! And you are free to say, I don't want you anymore.
Isn't that like child endangerment?
And that's called what? A limitation to my freedom. Yeah. So I'm not free.
You could drop them off at like a child services place, I think.
But then I'm not free from my conscience.
I don't want you.
$100
The point is, we keep bringing up all these examples, whether it's law or not on the personal level, but it all leads us to the same conclusion, which is there is no such thing as absolute freedom. Freedom in society that we have created ourselves, that we have agreed to live by, has limitations, and there are certain people who are entitled to create these limitations because we agreed to put them in that place, and they get back to us and they ask us, well, what do you think, I'm doing this new law, and you vote on it, vote no for law number two, vote yes for 128. So it's a mutual effort. All right. So how does that God apply to God? Oh, one last part of freedom. The freedom of the freedom to love and serve your country. In society, that is far above and beyond any other freedom. I think we all should agree on that. And if you don't raise your hand, because you're gonna be in trouble. I am not. I'm not gonna tell him. But don't raise your hand. Even though I am born Egyptian and I'm now American, I did not have free will to be born to a country. Maybe I wanted to be English or Finnish or Russian, but I was born Egyptian, right? Now, since I lived in Egypt and I grew up in that country, there are certain regulations that allow me to stay in that country, which are taking out the whole, conflict that's going on now. But under usual circumstances, I should be able to enjoy freedom in my own country as long as I love my country. Love. Serve my country. Do not betray my country. Meaning, I can't go to, Sudan and say, all right, I am going, there's a war between Egypt and Sudan. I'm going to be on the side of Sudan today. And I'm going to hold a gun and shoot every Egyptian that comes my way. And if Egypt loses, and if Egypt wins and Sudan loses, I'm going to go back to Egypt and say, no, I didn't do it. I'm Egyptian. See my passport? What is that called? Treason. What is the punishment of treason in 99.9% of countries in the world? Death. You can disagree. But that's what 99.9% of the world decided to do. Even even if you become a citizen of the United States, you still have to do the same thing for you chose by your free will to become a U.S. citizen. You will be tried for treason if you do not love and serve your country. Not if you do not love, but you should keep it to yourself, really. But if you work against your country, you are not free not to serve the country that you hold its citizenship. Or at least not to work against it. You don't have that freedom. It's limited. And it's a good thing. Because think about it. If 30 Americans are sitting here and one doesn't like this country, and they want to bomb the next mall right there. What are they called?
Freedom.
99.9% of countries, civilized countries, will call that grand treason. Right? And in the majority of time, the sentence
you
want
to
is
bomb the next mall.
You don't deserve to live if you don't love and serve your country. And not only that, when the time arises, you should be willing for the safety and well-being of your country that you did not choose to be born into, you should be ready to give your life and the lives of people who you love most. Who do you love most? Who do you love most? Your parents? Your siblings? They should be not dearer to you than your country. If your country is in danger, we should all put our lives on the line if there is harm here. If it's going to lead to protecting our countries. All right, so that's the world. That's planet Earth, and you know, how many continents are we now? Seven. So let's talk about the other land, the land that we talk about all the time, God's land. Do the same rules apply of freedom? Well, since the beginning of time. And in Genesis, God gave us freedom. So for those who question, did God create us free? That's a very big question. Did God create us free? Yeah, God did create us free. He said that in Genesis. He said he created us according to his image, in his image. So he created us really, really, really well. So he gave us head start. As you say, you know what? I gave my son head start. I taught him well. I educated him. I did what I could do for him. So I gave him a head start. And then after that, he gave us freedom. He said, you can eat from all the trees except one. But he took all my freedom away. Well, you know what? Your society takes some of your freedom away if it's going to endanger you. Right? So that's what he said. He said, eat everything. There's a million, probably. I only can imagine how Adam lived. And Adam and Eve must have lived in this gorgeous, gorgeous place. Everything was at the tip of their fingers. They didn't have to toil. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to do anything. They just had to do one simple rule. Love God. Love. Love. They didn't even have to serve, probably, at that point. So it's a far better than what we are asked for by our countries. We're asked to love and serve. At that point, love. There was no serve. They created everything. I'll take your question. And he told them, you are free. Do whatever, you know, this is all for you. Eat of everything except one fruit. And then they chose by their free will, because it was free will. Does anyone here have an idea that Adam and Eve did not choose to do this? Or were forced? They were forced. We can argue that, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring up that example again, but we can argue that... Question? Any questions? We can always argue that the guy who blew up himself in the Boston Marathon last year was forced. He was forced by the devil. He was forced too. So we should not hold him responsible. And we should not hold Adam and Eve responsible. If you accept that, you have to accept this. Because they're parallel. They're really very good analogies. So if not, then they acted with their total freedom. First he said no, and then he said, all right, let's do it. So they were totally free. They were totally free to, and that's an analogy, they were totally free to plant that bomb in the Boston Marathon. They were totally free to destroy their own lives. I am totally free to drink and drive and at the age of 19 go to jail for killing someone. Totally free. It's my freedom. But my freedom destroyed me because I exercised it poorly. And because I should understand that because it's an imperfect world and I cannot guarantee what the other person is going to use for with their freedom, what they're going to do with their freedom, I cannot have the same rights. Otherwise, I have to give it to them too. So that's the first thing. So we with our total freedom, because that question always comes up, that, yes, we sinned with our own free will. So then what happened? People came on earth. Some people chose to continue that, to correct their path and stay with God and stay with those in that country, love and serve that country. And some people say, I will betray. I don't want these set of rules. I know better. I can do a better job. I will go out. I'll create a different set of rules and regulations for myself. I am more mature than God, more educated, more experienced. There's a whole lot more of us than there is God. There's one God, and there's like 40 people. We can make a village. And we know what we're doing. So we're going to go out, and we're going to create a different country. And they go and they say, all right, well, we don't have rules. Let's just play it by ear. And they play it by ear. And then they start killing each other because if I like what you have and you're not giving it to me, I'm going to come and kill you and just take it. I don't have rules. And we've seen that over and over in history, right? The Romans, the Egyptians, us included. A lot of civilizations, big civilizations, they start with they fight and take over other civilizations, then they become strong, then they create their own set of rules which infringes on the freedom of others, then they become corrupt because no one is following these rules, and then down they go. And another one comes along in the same. And the people who are with God continue to love and serve, and love and serve. And then one by one, they leave. And they, because they chose to be with God, at the end, God will say, come on over to my party. Right? So, you are free. You are free first to worship. Worship whoever you want. And God did not take that away from us, by the way. God said, you are free. But freedom, but real freedom, if you want to know, it's in me. I am the real freedom. Any freedom not through me is not real freedom. You're going to, all these people who chose to leave God, a lot of them decided to, we need a God. Let's do something. Let's build something. Well, this God, we need to worship him. So even for a majority of those who left God, at one point or another, they decided that society without rule, without regulation, needs regulation. And then they created pagans. They created other religions. They wanted to please their God so bad, worse than whatever we wanted. They would kill their kids, and I'm sure you've read stories. They would burn their kids alive in front of that pagan statue. They were looking forward to please their God much more than we ever did. And we're just, we're living 10 commandments. Love God, respect your parents, love your neighbor, don't kill, etc., etc. That's it. It's a set of 10 rules. We just keep living by those rules. And then what happened? Now we want to do more. Now society is telling us, you are free above and beyond religion. Above and beyond those rules. Yet we have to abide by the earthly rules. So there's a contradiction here between society telling us, free yourself from God, free yourself from religion, but not my rules. My rules are good. They're better. If I tell you don't do this and don't do that, you better listen or you're in trouble. But not God. Don't worry about God. He's not going to get upset. A lot of people probably saw this comedian who was making fun of the whole God thing by saying, oh God, he wants you to be good. He wants you to follow his rules and obey his commandments. And if you don't, he's going to put you in hell. But he loves you. Well, it's the same thing with society. They tell us that our countries love us. But if we break the law, they'll put us in jail for life in some cases. But they love us. So you can see how what's good for the geese is not necessarily good for the gander, right? Is that the same? So then you say, I don't want you, God. You know what? I can do it without you. I really can. I have my master's. My parents raised me well. I have a good job. I have money. I am fluent in 5 languages. I don't need God. I don't need this. I can do it on my own. You don't want to join God's party. So you have freed yourself completely from everything, but then you will have one deadline. There's one deadline. And that deadline is when our life have expired. We call it expired in medicine. Patient expired. We do. It's rough, I know. But you can call it, we can consider ourselves as a cup of yogurt in the fridge. And once it expires, there's no other choice. You're not going to keep it in the fridge, are you? It's just going into the garbage. Luckily, we're not going into the garbage. We're just going to go and stand in front of God. And then we're going to say, hey, God, we want to be with you now. But he's going to say, but you didn't want to be with me then. But I had to use my freedom. You used it. I didn't tell you to be with me. I mean, I told you, but this is my territory. I'm God. I'm here. This is my party. Right? Because it's likened to a party. The wedding. Right? In the New Testament. Everyone is in the wedding. And you didn't want to be in the wedding. You weren't friends. Think about your friend. Your next door neighbor. She's always inviting you, come on, let's hang out together, let's go to the movies, let's read the Bible together, let's, have a sleepover, whatever. Let's study together. You go, no, I'm not really, you're not my type. You're really not, you wouldn't make a good friend. We don't click, we just don't have that connection. And then one day, everyone's graduated, she has a graduation party bigger than anyone you've ever seen. I mean, her family spent a lot of money. This is a great party. You don't want to miss. Everyone's going. You're not going. You didn't get invited. And you go and you knock on the door and you say, hi, remember me? I'm your neighbor. Who? Yeah, I'm your neighbor next door. Remember, you used to want to hang out. Yeah, I remember. We used to want to hang out, but you never wanted to. You said, I'm not your type. You said you have better friends. You can do it without me. You didn't want to pay attention to me. I wasn't good enough. So that's the freedom we exercise. God has given us total freedom. We have total freedom. But the real freedom is freedom of truth. And a lot of times it's hard. We say curfew. Well, that's a big thing. Curfew, freedom. Curfew, freedom. Curfew, freedom. Short skirt, freedom. Hanging out with girls, freedom. Drinking, freedom. Smoking weed, freedom. What do I do? It's so tough. I'm under a lot of pressure. My friends, I'm like the outcast. I'm this silly Egyptian kid who's like always wants to do the wrong thing. What do I do? What do I do? Actually, there is only one solution. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. I can guarantee you that. No one really... I mean, church prepares you, but then were you listening to what Abuna really said about how to achieve this freedom? He told you. He told you how to get to freedom. I'll tell you the verse that really sums it up. And I love this verse a lot because it really sums up how you... If you don't know, If you've never seen it, if you don't know anyone who can guide you, this is what you do. Okay, sit down. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 to 14.
Can you repeat that?
Galatians? Mm-hmm. 5, 13 to 14. Okay. You, my brothers and sisters, not my brothers, not my, both of you, were called to be free. But do not, again, use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. If you notice, Peter and Paul, everyone is talking about freedom in the same way. Right? Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And here it is. This is it. You fulfill it with this one command. If you follow this one golden rule, you can probably be right 99.9% of the time. And it's an easy rule and a hard one. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it was in the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if I love you, even though I don't like how you did your hair today, I am going to look beyond that and I'm probably going to compliment you anyway. If I love you, I'm going to look behind the way you treated me the other day and say, hey buddy, I love you. How are you? How are you doing today? If I love you, I am probably going to be very nice to you, and if you need my notes for school, I'm going to give them to you, even though you never gave me your notes. But because I love you in God, who is love. Because unlike other religions, we really never listed 99 names for God. We always say God is one thing, the most important thing. I mean, they teach us, even in our church when we're 3 years old, God is what?
Love.
And here it is. Love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my parents, I'm not going to want to hurt their feelings. I know they're worried about me. I know that even though I think I'm going to be safe, like the person who thought could get behind the wheel and drive intoxicated, maybe because they are mature and we use that factor, the laws and regulations are predominantly instituted by who? You want to pick someone mature, right? Experienced. Maybe in the 20 years they've seen, it's not that they distrust me, but maybe they distrust the situation. Maybe they're worried that, well, if I come back at 8 or 9 o'clock, the chances of drunk drivers being on the road are less than if it's 11 or 12. Maybe in daylight, there are less trouble around me, and in nighttime, the problematic. Let's be serious. What's the problem, people who are late out at night? Right? I mean, when was the last time you saw a 7-year-old out at 1 o'clock in the morning? Unless it was a wedding. It's love. It really comes down to love. If you don't love, your freedom is going to be impossible in God. If you don't love God and want to please Him, it's going to be very hard to say no when the time comes. The sin that they both talk about is the evil. And then I will say, as Peter says here, use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. I went and I got stoned tonight. I'm free. But I used my freedom to cover up the evil. I did not use freedom in a good way, in a productive way. I didn't. If I love God, if I love my parents, if I love my siblings, if I love my friends, if I love people around me, if I love human beings, I mean, the person who, bringing again the example of the Boston Marathon explosion, if they love these people as human beings, never met them, never saw them, don't know their names, have, you know, we're in America, it's a melting pot. Half of them are from a country he's never been to or heard about. But if you love them as human beings, if these two kids love them as human beings, they probably would not have crossed that last barrier of freedom, but because there was no love, the exercise of freedom was to its fullest, to the point that it hurt the other. So when I say God slave, and if you remember, I called this I really meant love slave, because God is love, and when we are slaves to love, then we are slaves to God. The name of the lecture is really love slaves. Questions? Thank you, very kind.
How do you explain God's trinity? God's trinity, giving us free will.
God gave you free will?
I like to listen to it.
God gave us free will. You can liken it to the government. That's a, in my eye, that's a good example. Because God is the church government. I mean, it's a bad example, but it's really a very good example. God, government. All right? Government gives us free will. It's in the Constitution. You are free. Right? You are free. You are in one of the most free countries in the world. But you have rules and regulations of God. And if you break them, the freedom is going to be taken away from you. You're going to go to jail, you're going to pay a fine, you might be hung in some state, but you're going to lose some of, you're going to lose your freedom.
I really enjoyed the lecture. Hope we'll all get benefit from it. But remember, Habayib, to reach the level that you love your neighbor as yourself, it needs a training a lot. It needs a lot of work and a lot of effort. Don't give up on yourself, because God never gives up on us. And train yourself a lot to love Him most. Then He will be able to help you to love whoever hurts you. You might not experience that much in the school, but you will see more a lot at work. My work, I have people that no matter how hard you try to accept them and show them God's love, they run to hurt you. And they run to revenge on you for any little tiny thing. And you can forgive them and let it go, but they do not let it go in any tiny thing you do. So what's going to help you? God's love, to keep loving them and show them God in your image. Because maybe through you, they can know how much they have been loved from God. And trust me, those people, when they come and hurt you badly, and I mean, and I have this experience every day at work, they run to you when they are in need for encouragement, for something. Let me give you an example. I have one that she suffers a lot, and she always revenge on me for anything. I let it go. When she wanted support to give up smoking, I was the only one. She can call me at any time. Tell her, call me at any time. You want a cigarette? Call me. I don't care. Until she quit smoking. You can help them, but love them first, yawlad, if you know how to love God. Bob Shinoda said what? If you know how to love, you know how to serve. It takes a lot of work. You're going to go home, you're going to cry. You're going to cry badly. How could she do that to you? Badly. And you really want to squeeze her head out from her body. But you don't do it.
I'll
show you how to do it. Now, train, ya habab, yourself very well how to love God again. Because it's very important. Then he will be your strength, because the devil comes in the point when you are weak for someone come to revenge and do something bad to you and tell you, do not let it go. You have the authority. You're the pharmacist. She's attacked. How could she do that? Bam, 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 bam. Talking. If you listen to that talk, you lose what you have been doing for so many years. And Rabbina Ma'aku, you have the freedom to be in this class. Right? I would like whoever doesn't want to stay in the class, you're free. But if you choose to continue, please continue it seriously and honestly in front of God. For your own benefit. No one enforce you or force you to come to this class. You have the freedom to come or not to come. But I would like to see serious, honest people in front of God. Hashem, when you will leave this class, you will be responsible for the souls, which are very precious to the Lord Himself. Plus, your own soul. So take this word and keep it in your mind and keep it in your ear. But after the class, I'll wash my hands off you. Okay? Anyway, who wasn't here and did not get the gift for the Christmas so far? Mark Habit with John Andrews. Anybody else? Jennifer, you got the gift? You didn't get the gift. Why there is your hand? Yeah, Mariam Boulis, you didn't get the gift either. Nardi, you didn't get the gift either. You have to wait for me. Okay? Next week, God's willing, we have one more religion that we have to boost it because traveling to Texas, I didn't want you all to miss this. Next week, God's willing, we have Mr. Sharif Tam'an give us the Protestantism. So please, the Protestant, do not be absent in that lecture. The Protestant lesson is a very good one. And he's a very good speaker. God help him and bless him. So don't run late again. Okay? Whoever is not here, please call and ask about them. It's very important to ask about each other, even if you do not like each other. You like? Freedom. Practice. Do it practical. بلاش نقول الكلام words and we don't live it. Let's get out from this. Start to live what you're saying. It's very important. وهتلاقوا blessing. صدقوني هتلاقوا great blessing. Alright.